Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Where there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we come now to this wondrous chapter on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. So there are several things. Let's try to consider the chapter in context. I have the first section as 1 through 11. You remember a couple of chapters ago we were talking about this, or maybe it was last chapter, but it's been repeated, I believe, several times. We were talking about the anti-woman, and she was found not exactly in the same places here that wisdom is found. There's a contrast, I think, that's being drawn by Solomon here, and the timing of it also is different. Remember that it was in the dark of night at the head of her own street. The anti-woman, folly. Notice here, where is wisdom to be found? May I say that it's different than just ubiquity. It is in the highest and in all of the best places of the world that wisdom cries. She's on top of the mountains. As it were, can I describe it this way? Rather than what we have seen before in that hidden way, she is everywhere in the highest and brightest places of the world. She has, in this way, nothing to be ashamed of. That's the point that's being made. Nothing perverse. Nothing that would be untoward at all. She has nothing to hide, nothing to fear. And so she is out in the broadest places, in the highest places, at the noon of the day, if you will, proclaiming her wisdom. And may I say that we see this same thing as we see that the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God is manifested in everything, right? Doesn't the psalmist proclaim in Psalm 104, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast created them all. And we see the same thing in Psalm 19 when we have the sun being used as a metaphor, where there is no place nor language nor speech nor highest or lowest place in the world where this shining has not gone forth. And so that's the point that's being made here with wisdom. She has shined forth everywhere. She has nothing to fear and nothing to be afraid of. She is the very thought and expression of God Himself. It is indeed the personification of wisdom in the speech of God that we hear speaking here. So there is no flattery in her words. She calls to the sons of men, that is to mankind, and she calls to the simple and presses her wisdom to them. Her words are truth and right. There is no shame in her speech. The plainness of wisdom's way is clear in this passage. And finally, at the end of this section, wisdom is more to be desired than anything else. She is more valuable than rubies, than gold, and than silver. And notice that there is, once again, the pressing of that antithesis, right? That there is, receive my instruction and not silver. My knowledge rather than choice gold. It's a fascinating proposition to think of. But we cannot serve both of them, can we? That's what our Lord Jesus told us. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Literally, later on in the passage, we hear the term durable riches. But we know what that means. All over the scriptures, we hear about what? Riches making themselves wings and flying away. They're not durable. But this is durable. This lasts. This is wisdom, can I say it this way? That transcends the grave. Think with me on that. All of the wealth in this world that you can amass, you will leave behind. But not this wisdom. This is wealth that is durable. This is, as Jesus put it, treasure in heaven. So that's verses 1 through 12. Now we move to 13 through 21. 12 through 21, 1 through 11 in the prior section. So now Solomon is going to set forth this personification of wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Notice that wisdom has companions, right? Prudence and knowledge. Now she's going to tell us what this is about. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Notice that wisdom's personification here is completely adverse to evil. In every evil way, wisdom is thoroughly opposed to every evil way. You want to chase away evil? Get wisdom. That is the chasing away of evil. Then we have several other of these metaphors that are drawn to to that personification of wisdom. Counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, strength. All of those things are drawn, as it were, within the circle of this personification of wisdom. And what we understand here is that wisdom here, she is the complete package. There's nothing wanting in God's wisdom. Nothing wanting in it. This is what we call the sufficiency of God's wisdom, right? And we see it spelled out for us in the sufficiency of Scripture and all of its implications. We don't come to the Scripture looking for that which lacks, although there would be many that handle the Scripture like that today. We come to the Scripture in confession of its sufficiency, such that it is sufficient to inform all endeavor in the world. It is the, as our confessional documents say, it is the only rule of faith and life. The only rule of faith and practice. Right? All right, so then notice that it is by wisdom that princes rule, kings reign, that justice is had. And so wisdom has also now drawn justice into its circle. And when we see kings moving outside of that, we see tyrants and not those kings as they ought to be. Remember that kings are commanded to kiss the Son, to draw themselves underneath the banner of Jesus Christ, such that they will rule according to His commands and counsels. And Romans 13 makes that very clear to us, right? In that we see that God has the sole prerogative to define what is good and evil. And so, those who are in any kind of authority, those of you who are business owners, do you consult the Scriptures to see how you should treat your employees? You should. You should. Do the Scriptures have something to say on that? They most certainly do. And we've heard about fathers, haven't we, already today in Ephesians chapter 5. And we hear about kings as well in Scripture. So by me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. And then notice also that wisdom goes on to say, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Aren't you reminded there of James chapter 1? What a great promise. Do you lack wisdom? James says, let him ask of God. And if we ask of God, what shall we find? That He giveth to all men freely and upbraideth not. That wisdom that we need. And then once again we have the reiteration of that principle that my fruit is better than gold, than fine gold. Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness and so on. All right, so then in the last part of the chapter, 22 through the end, 36, We want to see how this personification of wisdom takes on a very highly stylistic and prosaic form now. Some godly theologians have looked at Proverbs 8:22 and following, and have seen in that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that this is indeed Christ speaking. And they would have good scripture reason to do so. We hear from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Christ is the wisdom of God, right? And you've heard me say before that it is not particularly my view that Christ is being personified here, but that is a very godly view, and I respect it. Although I see this more highly stylized section that does not teach a personification of Jesus Christ. And I have several reasons for that we need not go into here. But let me just say this, first of all, that notice it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. I want to help you to understand that word possessed for a moment. It is interesting. It's an interesting word. We hear about this word from Genesis chapter 4. The firstborn son of Adam and Eve, at least I think it was the firstborn, his name is Cain, right? Cain. You know what the name Cain means. If you remember our study of covenant theology a long, long time ago, you'll remember that Cain means acquisition. What did Eve say when Cain was born? Well, there's this champion. She had a promise of a champion that was going to be born, right? That he will rise up and he'll bruise the serpent's head. He won't be like Adam that fell before the serpent. He'll be the champion instead. And when Cain is born, Eve names him Cain. I've got him. My champion is here. Now, she was really disappointed, obviously. He was not the champion. But that's what she named him. Acquisition. Or, I've got him. That's the word that's used here. The Lord acquired me in the beginning of his way. Interesting, isn't it? That when we recognize that speech fails Solomon here, that he's speaking of that which is eternal with God, he says that the Lord acquired wisdom. He got wisdom. He has gotten wisdom since his beginning. That from all of eternity, this wisdom, this personification of wisdom has dwelt with God. God is, if you will, wisdom itself. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, before anything was done. The Lord is all wise. Notice the Lord does not need his creation to make him wise. He is wise because he is and has always been. And you remember that when we talk about the attributes of God, that that's only for our understanding. That God really only has one attribute, and that is Godhead. And all of those attributes interpenetrate one another, right? And so we have then this poetic figure, this wisdom personified, which God, if you will, for our benefit, objectifies from himself, so that he teaches us in that God, through wisdom, has done everything that he has done. Now, why would this be important? Because we are told over and again in this passage to live according to wisdom. Wisdom is the warp and woof of the way God has made and the way he sustains everything. And so living, can I put it this way? This is a very colloquial statement and maybe liable to misunderstanding. So please think with me here for a moment. But if wisdom is the warp and woof of God's creation and providence, then we must learn to live according to that heartbeat of everything that is around us. Wisdom permeates the creation and providence of God. And so when we live according to wisdom, we are living according to that same rhythm, according to that same establishment, according to the way God is doing and has done in this world. That's why Solomon is personifying wisdom and bringing that forth, so that we will see that this is indeed living in harmony with what God has done. Oh, we hear all kinds of what it means to live in harmony with the world around us today, don't we? There's all kinds of pagan ideas of what that is. Let me tell you something. Solomon had the idea first by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. How to live in harmony with the world around us, because God in wisdom has created and in wisdom sustains and upholds the world around us. And so when we live according to His wisdom, we live in concert with God and His world. So it is indeed His world that is created. Isn't that what Solomon goes on to say? When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds of the above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, always rejoicing before him. Notice, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. His earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. So this is why we're told at the end of the chapter to keep his ways, to keep wisdom's ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. And then notice, in contrast to the man that was found along the street of folly, notice what wisdom says here. Now therefore hearken unto me. Blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Not walking down folly's dark alleyways, but rather watching at the posts of my doors, wisdom says. For whoso findeth me, findeth life. You see the contrast. What was in folly's gates? Death. But whoso findeth me, findeth life, shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.